an amazing morning. We get to see new life pictured in baptism. We get to see new life pictured in Camille Grace. And that's really what it is. The good news is new life. You know, to be able to see these baptisms is fantastic. It's amazing. It's inspiring because really when we see baptisms, that's really the culmination of a whole lot of things that have transpired. The baptism started, you heard the testimonies, somewhere back over here. A wife, a friend. Somebody had to go and tell a John, a Sue. They had to explain to them. Because the celebration of new life began with a faithfulness back here. And that's what we're looking at this morning. Here in Acts 8 is this amazing passage. It just fits so perfectly well with what we're talking about this morning. Because all what we look at this morning, Acts 8, is all these things that occurred, they culminated in the celebration of new life. If you have your Bibles, hope you do, look in Acts chapter 8. Acts 8. Starting there in verse 26. Luke's going to provide a story for us here, a story that occurs not long after Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, and he's ascended to heaven. We pick up here on the story with a guy named Philip. Now, Philip was sitting there just going about life, normal course of life, nothing kind of particularly unusual going on. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road." The desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, the first thing to notice about this is that God sends Philip. God says, go. Go. You see, God is the one who sends. God is a sending God. That's who we serve. We serve a sending God. It's important to get this right because as we're wrestling as a church with what does it mean to be a missional church? What does it mean to be a missional believer? We see that there's different definitions out there, and it's important for us to define our terms. And that's why, for example, on our website, if you go to our website and you go to the link Resources, under that you'll find a page called Missional Matters. And on that, we're sorting through and listing there for you in categories things that will help us understand what it means to be missional as a believer and as a church. Blogs, so I don't like to read. That's okay, we got videos. I don't like long videos. We got short videos. Really, like 2-3 minutes. And they'll tell you a lot. Books, articles, things that will help us to understand. What does it mean to be missional? But understand it from a biblical perspective. And we have to start by understanding that God is a sending God. That's what we read in Matthew 28, isn't it? That Jesus, with his disciples, says what? Go. Go and make disciples. And baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's go. Go and what? Make disciples. Because you see, for us to be able to be a people who are sent, we have to be a people that are disciples. That as we're disciples, as we go deep in the Word, and we understand God's Word, we wrestle with it, and it goes into our mind, into our heart. It changes. The Word of God is living and active. It will change who we are. We go deep in the Word. And as we go deep in the Word, we're going deep in our relationship with Jesus. And we're doing this in community with other believers, intimate, burden-bearing groups. As disciples, as we grow, God says, go. As you are growing, go. It's both. Go and be disciples. Grow and go. Second thing we see here is that God's primary purpose for us to understand what it means to be missional is God's primary purpose in sending is so that other people can know the good news of the gospel of Jesus. That's why he's sending. That's why he's a God that sends. That's why Jesus sent his disciples out. That's why his disciples trained others. And that's why we're here is so that we can go and, what does Matthew 28, 17 say? Go and tell. It's not go and keep it to yourselves. It's not go and be comfortable. It's not go and hang out, but it's go and proclaim, speak, talk, share, tell. and make disciples of Jesus. You see, one of the things I love as we go through this passage is it strikes me is that it occurs in the course of daily life. That Philip's just going about his day. A lot of things are going on there in Jerusalem. I mean, the church is starting to grow. You got still the opposition, right, against Jesus. So you've got the challenges of daily life. You got Philip. He's got some duties going on. So he's got things to do in the church of serving. And in the course of daily life, the angel of the Lord comes to him and has something for him to do. But he's doing it in the course of daily life. There's no separation between one or the other. The church life and the daily life. There's just life. I like the way that Ed Stetzer puts it in a recent blog piece that he did. And Ed Stetzer, if you don't know him, he is the vice president of research at Lifeway Christian Resources. And Stetzer, he writes this about what it means to be missional, about a church and a people that don't separate our lives into the church part and the daily life part. This is what, just two slides here. Let me read these together with me. I'll read it. You don't have to be like, oh, two slides. Just let me read. As Christians, it says, we generally agree that we are sent. But affirming this is only a small first step. See, being missional means having one's identity shaped by being sent. We have too long lived with a wall between our public lives and our private lives. Our Christianity too often and too easily gets identified with our private life, our behavior, and our church activities. So privately and perhaps even corporately as a church, we know that we're sent, but the truth is, it hasn't captured how we live. We too often engage our community as consumers, right, or as a necessary evil. We go into the community just as much as we have to. We rarely engage our community as a missionary. See, one of the problems in the church is that when we talk about the necessity to engage our community as a missionary, members often hear the requirement to put something else, another church activity, on an already crowded schedule. In that, the challenge is revealed. It is not about adding something else. It is about being something, a missionary, as you go. And when I read this, I thought, it nails it. Because that's exactly what we see in Scripture. It's go. It's as you go. It's in the course of daily life. It's not the separate times. It's not the scheduled part. I'll be a missionary to my community for a couple of hours, but the rest of the time, no. I will do this occasionally. No, we see here, and I think Ed's got it right, we see this with Philip, that he's going about his daily life. And God says to him, go. Go south to a road. So we find God's telling Philip to go to a pretty odd place. You see, this desert road really was. It was going to a road that was kind of odd because it was going to a city that was deserted. That had been deserted back in the first century BC. And so here's God sending Philip to a really kind of a strange place. It wouldn't be readily apparent based on the uses of roads at that time why he'd be going on this desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. But you see, God often sends us to places that we wouldn't expect. And I'm not talking about sending us, you know, to Sudan or to Pakistan. That may happen, but for the vast majority of us, God's going to send us to other strange places, like your neighbor's house. Hey, that can be pretty strange. God can send us to people that are sitting right across from us in a classroom. God can send us to the guy or gal that's in the cubicle right next to us. God can send us to the family members. Because God sends. And sometimes he sends us to strange places. Now, what does Philip do? Look at verse 27. What do we learn? It says that he started out. See, God says go, and Philip, he hesitates, he waits, he procrastinates. No, he started out. You see, Philip exemplifies what it means to be missional. In the course of daily life, he faithfully integrated being sent by God into what he's already doing. And also notice, this very beginning part, how much of the details does God give to Philip? Not a whole lot. He just tells him a road. go to a road. Doesn't tell him why. Doesn't tell him who he's going to meet there. Doesn't tell him for how long. Doesn't tell him all the things he's going to have to do. He just says, go to a road. Go. Wow. But you see, in the course of daily life, that's the key. We don't have all the details worked out. But God says to us, go, we just go. The details are really a bit spotty. But that didn't stop Philip. He didn't wait until it had it all worked out. Didn't have it until it was comfortable, until everything was clear. He just went. Now, Philip could have made a bunch of excuses, couldn't he? He could have said, oh, boy, you know, this is bad. You got all these travelers coming to Jerusalem to worship. You got this whole festival thing. The roads are going to be terrible. And it's going to be just chock full of chariots going back. I'll just wait until it's off-peak time. Let's put this off. This road is deserted. I mean, clearly, maybe it was a mistranslation. I didn't really understand. I'll just go to a different road. I'm still going to a road, God. He could have made the excuse that I don't know anybody there. I've never been to this road before. What's the point? And the excuses could have gone on and on and on. But he doesn't do that. He just goes. Doesn't say, I'm too busy today. Doesn't say, I'll put it off to another day. Doesn't say, well, maybe when I get a little more comfortable with things. So he went. He started out. Thankfully, because you see, when we go, things happen on the way. Hear that. When we go, things happen on the way. And that's what happened to Philip. Look again at verse 27. So he started out and on his way, going to this desert road, not expecting it, on his way, he met this Ethiopian eunuch, an important official. So here's Philip going out on this desert road, wondering, what in the world is God doing? Why am I out here? Why am I going on this road? I'm not really sure. This is kind of odd. And he meets, there's this guy going there. Hadn't met him yet, but there's this guy, an official. He's essentially like the CFO for Ethiopia, for the queen of Ethiopia. And Ethiopia was south of Egypt. It wasn't part of the Roman Empire. It was considered kind of by those in the Roman Empire as like the edge of the earth. Unexpected. But he goes. And this official, we learn, he's been to Jerusalem to worship. He's on his way home. And so what we know is that he's not a Jew like Stephen. We also learn that he's there to worship God. So maybe he's a convert to Judaism. We're not clear, but at least he's a God-fearer. But he doesn't have everything worked out. And he's going home. What's fascinating is we look again. What is he doing? Look at verse 28. He was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. So here's this guy from Ethiopia, not a Jew, and he's got this big scroll. And it would be a big scroll. We know that because we have a scroll just like it. We talked about this back, I think, in December, about the great scroll of Isaiah. It's in the Book of the Shrine, a big museum in Jerusalem. This scroll is just awesome because this thing was found in the 1940s outside of Jerusalem, the site of Qumran. It's a complete scroll of Isaiah, dated to the century before Christ. So here we can look at this big scroll. You know, you roll out one side and you roll to the other side. This is no flipping around like a Kindle. You want to go from chapter 1 to chapter 66? Talk about learning patience. We can see the scroll. We see, and we have a picture, that this is what Isaiah had written 700 years earlier. Remember, Isaiah, prophet of God, about the same time as Micah, the series we've been going through. And here's God speaking through Isaiah 700 years before Christ. And here's the Ethiopian eunuch reading a scroll. And here we are looking at that same scroll. That is cool. And what is he reading? We'll get that in a second. Notice, verse 29. What happens? Philip's walking along. He sees his chariot. And things get interesting. They get interesting because the Spirit says to Philip, go near that chariot and stay there. Go to that chariot and stay there. You see, things get interesting when we listen to the Spirit. Because you see, Philip, he's out there. He's on this road, doesn't know why he's there. And then God reveals a little bit more of his plan. A little bit more of the way he wants to use Philip. You see, things are about to get really crazy interesting for Philip. And the thing is, Philip hears the Spirit. That Spirit is the same Spirit that's in every believer who's a disciple of Jesus. Every follower of Jesus, that same Spirit that whispers to Philip, go near that chariot and stay there, is the same Spirit that's at work in you and me when you follow Jesus. That same Spirit that says, go. Also notice, too, look at the text. Does the Spirit reveal everything? Does he tell Philip, this is what I want you to say. This is precisely how it's going to go down. Here are the instructions. Here's the steps. Follow these. Everything will be good. No. He gives him one little bit of piece more of information. Go near that chariot and stay there. I think the picture there for us is the question, to whom is the Spirit leading you? I mean, what about us? See, that same Spirit's leading us. We know we serve a God that sends. It's not a question of is God going to send, but God is sending us, and the question is, to whom? And the question, too, is what would I do? What would you do when the Spirit inevitably is telling you already now or is going to tell you, go? Well, what do we do? You see, Philip, when the Spirit says, go to that chariot, he's going to look over and he's going to see that chariot and he's going to see that official. And this is what could have gone through Philip's mind. He's not like me. His skin, dark. Ethiopians, very different in skin complexion, even than a Middle Eastern Jewish guy like Stephen. He's not like me. Different status in life. You see, the Ethiopian was CFO. He's riding on a chariot. This guy is a bigwig, big power. Stephen? Don't have any indication that he has that same status in life. Different countries, different cultures. The guy is not like me. Stephen, when the Spirit says to him, go to that chariot and stay near, the temptation for you and I is when God calls us to that neighbor, to that person at the gym, to that other mom in the PTA, to the person that behind the counter that you every week are going in intentionally go into that same checkout stand so you can get to know that particular person behind the counter. But they're not like me. Yeah? Neither was that Ethiopian official. You see, Philip could have said, he's not like me and not gone. But he went near and he stayed there. Who is the Spirit leading you to come alongside? Who are you supposed to draw near to? You see, one of the things we see here with Philip is that when the Spirit says, go and draw near, he goes, and just stay near that chariot. Now, things kind of transpire a little more quickly for Philip here. We don't know how long he had to walk on that road. It doesn't say. It could have been for a few miles. Could have been for 100 miles. We're not really clear, but he's hearing him reading. But you see, the picture was Philip needed to be prepared to stay near. There's no indication that the Spirit was saying to him, draw near for one meeting. Draw near until it's uncomfortable. Draw near until you learn that they really are different than you. No. The picture we have is draw near and stay there. So the same thing for us. God tells us go. Tells us to go alongside. Neighbor, the friend. Is it somebody on the athletic team? Is it that person behind the checkout counter? Whoever God calls us to, he's telling us to go and stay near, develop relationships, get to know them. Stay near. Stay near. Why? Look at verse 30. We see the impact of going to people who don't know in the course of a life, that we don't know, and we see the unexpected. You see, we find the work of God. We find the Spirit using believers to be his mouthpiece. We find gospel conversations. But for these to occur, believers have to draw near. They have to go and they have to stay there. You see, this Ethiopian official we see in Scripture, he's reading Isaiah, but he doesn't get it. And what's fascinating, he's reading Isaiah 53, one of the most powerful chapters in all of Scripture, in the Old Testament. Because this Isaiah 53 is a part of a number of chapters in Isaiah about the suffering servant. This one that God is telling is coming. 700 years before Christ, God, through Isaiah, is saying one is coming called a suffering servant that is going to take away the transgressions of all once and for all. He's going to bear their wounds. He's going to remove their iniquities. One is coming who will suffer. See this Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading this and he doesn't get it. He's like, who? And he asks Philip. He sees Philip sitting there. He's like, hey. But do you know why the Ethiopian eunuch could ask Philip? Look at the text. What does Philip do? He's drawn near and he hears that this Ethiopian official is reading, and then he asks a gospel question. He initiates a gospel conversation. He simply asks, do you understand what you're reading? You see, when Philip went and pulled alongside that, he didn't really know why he was being pulled alongside there. He didn't know he was going to meet somebody who was reading Isaiah. He didn't know all this was going to transpire. Now, when Philip pulled up alongside, he could have had a preformed list of, I'm going to say X, Y, and Z. I'm just going to throw out the Roman road, and I'm out of there. He could have just kind of handed him a track and said, hey, how's it going? Get back to me when you've read that. But see, that wouldn't get where this guy's at. This guy has questions. You see, when we pull alongside somebody, we have to be able to listen. We have to be able to attune our ear. Where are they at? What's going on in their life? What questions do they have? We have to care. And then, well, what is Philip? He's listening and he realizes, hey, he's reading about Jesus. He's reading Isaiah 53. And so Philip initiates a gospel conversation. Do you understand? And you see, the official says, I don't get it. Who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself? Is he talking about somebody else? Ah. You see, God's opened the door. God sent Philip. God's been at work in this official's heart. And now God has opened the gospel conversation. So what does Philip do? He simply shares Scripture. He doesn't walk on water. He doesn't have to have some grand theological treatise. He just simply points to Jesus. He simply shares the word and tells this official, that suffering servant's Jesus. He is that suffering servant that has taken away sins. See, I think sometimes we make it too complicated. We think that we have to do all these things. It's going to be really hard. You know what we have to do? We have to be obedient and share the word. Because God is telling each one of us, go. Philip, imagine, Philip could have, one, angel says, go to that road, make excuses. But he went. Even on the road, still Philip, when the Spirit nudges him and says, go alongside that chariot, what would have happened if Philip? The silence is deafening, isn't it? But you see, Philip was walking in step with the Spirit. And when the Spirit said, go, Philip was obedient. That's for us. We simply need to be obedient. Step with the Spirit. Gentle leading of the Lord. Go over here. Talk to this person. Pull alongside them. Care. Get to know them. They're not like me. That's okay. I'm uncomfortable. That's okay. They might talk to me longer than I want. That's okay. I might miss my golf game. That's okay. But Philip went. And he listened, and he heard, and he asked. He was obedient. And then the grand thing that he did was he simply pointed him to Scripture. That's all he did. Go. What does the Ethiopian official do? Look, verse 36 through 38. We're traveling along the road. His heart is pierced through. He's seeing that Jesus is the Messiah. He is a suffering servant. He is pierced through. He trusts in Christ. And he says, Philip, I want to be baptized. I want to take that step of obedience. I want to tell the world. They stop. He's baptized. And I love how this ends. Look at this. Look at the end of verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch didn't see him again. But what did the eunuch do? He went on his way, what? Rejoicing. Why? Because he had just received the good news of Jesus. Why? Because somebody was obedient to go. Somebody was obedient to listen to the Spirit and share. We heard that in our testimonies this morning, time after time. I was hurting. I was alone. I was searching. I had questions. But then this friend pulled alongside me. This wife was patient with me and shared. Someone was willing to share. So when we see these baptisms that's happened, it's because for weeks and months and years, other people in their life were listening to the Spirit say, go, tell, pull alongside them, share your life, share their life. It's fascinating. I think if we probably talked to some of those people, they would be interesting. I think some of them would say they didn't know what was going to happen. It was unexpected when their friend or their family member would trust Christ. There was no guarantee. But they went, they pulled alongside, they were obedient, and they shared the word. That's what it is. For us to be missional is for us to step out of our comfort zone. We serve a sending God who is sending us in the course of daily life with all the people that God is bringing into our lives, those that live around us, those that we have to step out of our comfort zone and go to get to know, to pull alongside, to draw near, and listen. Get to know them. And be ready with gospel conversations. God's word, we're obedient, we share. Because it's God's plan. God's working on the heart. It's God's word. And God ultimately will get the glory. Our part's really pretty small and not that hard. To be obedient, we have to go. Amen? Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for Philip's faithfulness. Lord, thank you for the changed life that we saw this morning. The rejoicing. Just like this Ethiopian official who rejoiced when he accepted the good news of Jesus. The good news of new life that we saw this morning. Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to see that. Lord, we pray that there would be not simply just a few more, but hundreds and thousands of more people who would have that rejoicing because they've accepted Jesus. And they would come and be baptized. Lord, use us to that. All to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.